Hi, welcome to this episode of the Live and Work Abroad show. Welcome to our world, Project Partnership. We help expats living and working abroad, relocating overseas and investing offshore. We're very good at helping people save the most amount of tax, not pay too much, but get things right and make sure that they protect their business, property and investment assets from inheritance tax, a cost of delay of probate, as well as saving, paying the right amount, but the minimum of income and corporation taxes. For more information and guidance, you can contact us at projectpartnership.com. Now, how the Living and Working Abroad show works quite easily. We do some headlines, we do some features, and then we'll get into immediate stuff today. And today we're covering the issues around the shorter EU stays that are coming up for expats, especially affecting UK expats, as well as expats around the world, that, and tourists and business travellers travelling into the EU. So, news from the expat world this week. We see in America that Donald Trump is gaining momentum in his case to be elected US president. There is a counterculture, there is a revolutionary looking for change culture in America. It exists also in the UK, where they're coming up for an election, and the dissatisfaction with the current government, but in the two-party system, does the alternative give a way out? Well, it does if the Americans elect Donald Trump, but not necessarily if they elect one of his rivals, such as Haley. And so we're waiting to see how that develops. But obviously, Donald Trump will have a different view and a different way of approaching things rather than the status quo represented by the Social Democrat, the Democrat area in America under Biden, where he's been president or deputy president during the previous four, three of the last four American terms. Had to work that one out, didn't I? So that's 16 years Biden has been either vice president or president in the United States. We're also seeing a creep on the Russian-Ukraine issue. Now, what we need to remember from history 70, 80 years ago is that Hitler was democratically elected into power in the early 30s, and 10 years later he created a world war. Putin became nominated Russian prime minister, then president, and elected president subsequently. And 20 years later, he's encroaching in Ukraine to take back territory given up by the USSR to protect the Russian native citizens in those regions. So that's one thing, but he's already done it in Georgia, and they've already done it in Kazakhstan to a degree, and they've already done it in a way supporting Azerbaijan with their conflict with Armenia. And now there's rumblings in Moldova, where an enclave in Moldova, a Russian, want to agitate for occupation and protection from the Russian state. How far does this go? Does it include Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Poland? Does it include the wider world? So the Soviet Union was a conscript that was created after the Second World War, after the devastation that Hitler's approach created, when all he wanted to do was to have one country for the Germans to live in. The previous European Machiavelli character, Napoleon, great movie going around at the moment, but Napoleon, when he led his coup in France, the French Revolution had been all about replicating the freedoms of the United States from from the British monarchy. That's what the French Revolution did. But then there was a coup by Napoleon, who wanted to create a United States of Europe, which is why he invaded right into Russia and all over Europe, into Ireland, and tried for England, but failed when he met his Waterloo. So is that what's being repeated in the 20th century from the 19th century? We need to look out and be careful there. NATO's expanding to include Sweden now, so NATO suddenly have got a massive border with the Russia, and will they extend that conflict into the Ukraine? Expats living and working abroad need to just take care and protect their business relationships, in terms of money laundering, in terms of where you're living and where you're working and what your business relationships are. For more information and guidance on security for your business abroad, you can contact us at productpartnership.com. So let's move on to our main topic this week. The topic that we want to cover in detail is we're looking at shorter EU stays. Now, around the world, under international law, travellers using a passport can have a 90-day stay for holiday or business purposes, up to 90 days, that's 3 months in a country. To stay more than that, you would need some permission. So generally, that would mean that you would need to have a visa, some sort of visa, to stay beyond the 90 days. Now, in a country like the UK, it's very laissez-faire and in the past. And if you didn't stay beyond the 6 months, then generally nobody's going to beat you up. So if somebody comes to the UK even today and overstays their 90 days, as long as they leave before the end of 6 months, then there's no complications, there are no questions raised by the authorities. In the EU, though, the Schengen zone enforces 90 in 180-day rule. What they mean is that, yes, you're welcome to come for 90 days, but actually you can't leave and then come back again for another 90 days. So in the UK, you can be in the UK for 90 days, leave, come back a day or 2 days later, and still not need a visa. If you stay more than 6 months, more than two lots of 90 days, then you need to be a tax resident for that year. That's different complications. But you've got that freedom to take a short break, to leave the country and come back again. But in the EU, you can't do that. Now, not all countries in the EU are in the Schengen zone yet. Ireland won't be. But if you choose to go to Ireland, you want to stay more than 90 days, you have to get that visa before you go. So you can't travel to Ireland like you can the UK and stay more than 90 days without a visa that you obtain before you get to Ireland. Having a note here, there's a common travel agreement between the UK and Ireland that dates back to 1923. So British and Irish citizens can freely move, live, work abroad, a bit like the EU, since 1923. So there's no restrictions there, and that's why Ireland isn't in the Schengen zone. The Schengen zone is effectively all the other EU countries and a few others as well, like Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, Liechtenstein, and the city-states within Europe. But and Romania and Bulgaria joined the Schengen zone officially in March 24. That leaves one country outstanding, Cyprus, which could join under the same rules this year, where land and sea borders are controlled within the Schengen area. Air and sea borders are controlled by the Schengen area, but land borders continue to be not open for Schengen zone movement. So what the Schengen zone enforces is that if somebody who is not an EU citizen travels around the EU, then they're only allowed to spend 90 days in the whole of the EU in any 6 month period. So if you've got a holiday home in Portugal or Spain or Cyprus or Greece or France, and you want to stay more than 3 months in the winter or the summer, you're stymied in the normal course of events by a visa-free travel access, okay, under the Schengen zone rules, okay? Now, if you've got visa-free travel, then by definition, you don't need a Schengen visa. Your problem is that with the Schengen zone, there's the introduction of electronic travel authorities for EU and the EU Schengen zone from 2025. So by the time you get to 2025, anyone with visa-free travel into the EU needs the electronic travel authority. Not a problem, except it will enforce the 90 in 180 day stay, the shorter stay rules. So you can travel to America at the moment, you can get a 90-day short stay electronic travel authority without a visa, and then you can go back next week. Somebody could do that in theory to the UK, but the EU enforces the 90 and 180-day rule. Now, they may change that, but will they change that before they introduce electronic travel authorities at the start of 25? Unlikely. So if you've got a family, a business, a property interest in the EU, and you're not got EU citizenship or permanent residency, then you can be either A, limited to short stay rules, 3 months in at 6 months, or you need to get yourself a resident permit. Now, they come in different formats for the EU. So if you've got the ability to qualify for a citizenship, a dual citizenship, if your home country's passport allows a dual citizenship, that would be one way. If you've got qualifications for your time spent in Cyprus or Spain or Portugal, a permanent residency, another way, after 5 years you get permanent residency if you've got continuous stay by renting or owning property or business in that country for 5 years. That will be another way of getting a permanent residency. Takes you outside the Schengen zone rules. Or the other way is more pay-as-you-go system. In effect, that you have to get yourself a visitor's visa or resident permit for a short period of time. So I want to go to France for 6 months. You get a visa for that 6 months. So that frees you from the Schengen zone restrictions, but you have to get the visa before you travel. So you still need the electronic travel authority as well. So you're either going to have an electronic travel authority, a visa, the notion of visa-free travel just using a passport is something from the past. And already it's stopped in the UK. So the UK from November 23 have introduced their own electronic travel authorities. And from February 23, all the Gulf Cooperation states are involved in having to have an electronic travel authority into the UK. Eventually, everyone apart from British and Irish citizens by 25 will need electronic travel authority to enter the UK. So again, if you need more help and guidance on amending your residency status because you qualify as a citizen for a permanent residency, or just you need a travel authority for one of those countries, a Proact Partnership for Expat Experts that can help tourists and business that are travelling and living and working abroad. So that's it. That's it for today. I'm now going to address some of the questions, but for that, I need my glasses. So have you got any questions for me? I can see we've got some people that are watching, and I'm sort of hanging on for their questions now, if you've got those. So to summarise, another area where this residence permit can affect is if you've got a holiday home. The other thing that's been introduced into countries around the EU is the concept of a licence for property rental. So if you're renting your Airbnb property in Spain or Portugal or Cyprus or France, then you now need to have a license with them to get that residency done. Why this new extra legislation? It's the same with the Schengen zone visa. It's for taxation reasons. So each individual country is making sure that any property rental, the income tax is the property rental income is being reported, and that's what Airbnb having to do. They've got a big dispute on with Italy, who have fined them and trying to get nearly 70 million euros out of them for unpaid property rental taxes on Cyprus, on Italy property rentals. Either Airbnb will pay that. If Airbnb don't pay it, then they could potentially come over after the property owners. So if Airbnb said, well, we'll disclose who received that income, the Italy tax authorities can then go after them individually. More likely, Airbnb will pay it and then reclaim it off their clients. But other countries like Spain won't issue a license unless you've got a residence permit. So it's another reason for wanting that residency permit. So governments and tax authorities are learning to use electronic media to control and understand the movement of people and make sure that their residence is valid. Yes, to protect against encroachment across the border by other peoples, but also to make sure that tax and residency rules are obeyed for all. So in the absence of any obvious questions, I'll just check again. If I can get my glasses on. In the absence of any obvious questions, I will thank you for listening. Leave your comments. If you've got a question here, then we can see them later and we'll answer back. If you've got any questions for us specifically, you can contact us at productpartnership.com and we can help you and guide you on living and working abroad, residency permits to extend your shorter stay and avoid refusal of entry to the EU country where you own the property, or penalties when you leave after your trip. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you again next time.